So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. It's another Tuesday, and you know what that means. It's time
yeah,
for
me. It means tomorrow's Wednesday.
That, well, that too.
Okay.
But it also means that myself and Les are going to run down the week's news for you and give you some of the best interviews from people in the business today. It's Wrestling Weekly, guys. Welcome.
Okay. Start with, I thought Raw, now I won't say it was a four-star show, but I thought Raw had more wrestling, which is, to me, what, well, call it sports entertainer, call it wrestling, extremism, whatever. I think that's what should be on the show, and I think they had more of it last night than they probably had in the last 6 weeks, and I think they went about plugging their pay-per-view in a better manner as well. I mean, I don't know if they're changing directions totally, whether they fill with wrestling because they couldn't find any poopy to drop on somebody's head or anybody get oral sex or whatever, but I just think that's what's to their benefit, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I read some reviews on it, and it wasn't too nice.
Well, you know, there again, it's... you know how I hate to keep repeating myself, but to make a point, I have to repeat myself. You learn to work matches. You learn to wrestle by being in the ring and spending time there. And they've got so many young guys on all three programs that 3 minute, 4 minute, even 5-6 minute matches aren't going to teach them anything.
Right.
And and so of course they put more time in the house shows, but I think to expose them on seeing the pressure on television is different too, Doc.
Yeah.
Than a house show. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're in front of 10,000 people, you're in front of 10,000 people. But then knowing that's a television, and especially with Raw being live, you know, it's not like they can edit it or go back and do it again. So,
right.
There's a fair amount of pressure there. And with the younger guys, you know, my analogy there is you drive a car, I drive a car. I might have learned in 6 weeks, it might have taken you 12 or vice versa, but the point is every person is different. So, you know, you can't expect a guy to step right out there on Raw Live in front of however many million people, 4 or 5 or whatever it happens to be, and just say, yeah, cool, you know, I've been doing this all my life.
Right. You know? You can't even expect Kelly Kelly to go out there and dance.
I don't know that I would live long enough to see that, where that actually works. But that's the thing, too. Right, you know, I mentioned a guy. We've been on the air now in this time slot, what, a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
In this time slot, yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, because we had so many nights, they're all run together.
Actually, it was more like 6 months on this time slot,
okay.
I think.
So anyway, yeah. but you know, I mentioned probably back then that there's more young guys, you know, baptism under fire now than in recent years, and that number has grown. So I think like it's like the, what is it, Crime Time?
Yes.
My opinion there, and from what I hear from other people, is they're going to do comedy because they can't wrestle. When I say that, I mean, that seems absurd. It's like you don't hire a guy to play on a football team that can't play football, but this is professional wrestling, and that seems to be the deal. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
I was starting to wonder.
Well, I mean, you know, and you will see them, obviously, on shows, but I don't know what, you know, I mean... I mean, you're going to see them in the ring, obviously.
Right.
But here's, you know, here's where veterans come in handy. Tag team matches come in handy. With tags, you can disguise a multitude of sins simply by getting guys in and out of the ring quickly. You know, now if they give these guys some veterans to lead them, you know, then you've got something good. Yeah, I mean, or you, oh, I shouldn't say something good. You can disguise it long enough, and hopefully that they learn. But again, they're going to have to learn on the house shows. It won't be in the 3 or 4 minute whatever, you know, on the television show. So, and this stands true for, you know, virtually any young guys. I mean, these guys may be less experienced from what I understand in terms of their in-ring quality. But yet, you know, you can work 10 million indie shows, but if you don't get on television in front of large crowds, you can't feel it, you know?
Right.
So, anyway, it'll be interesting to see how many of these guys actually get their act together, you know?
Mm-hmm. But before we go on, I do want to announce to everybody that, of course, our guest tonight for Hot Topic is Brian Alvarez. He's going to be doing that big Brian versus Vinny match on Sunday. We're going to be talking about that with him.
That's one of the big pay-per-views coming up Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. Also, from the history of WWE.com, it's webmaster Graham Coffin.
Yeah, that should be interesting, too, because to do anything historical and do it properly, man, there's a lot of research involved.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Oh, you know something I want to mention, and this is not wrestling-related, too. James Laurinaitis. I live in Ohio, so I'm a big Buckeye fan, and I kept track of the Buckeyes against Texas, you know, number one and number two in college football on Saturday night. And, of course, James Laurinaitis is the son of Road Warrior Animal,
right?
Joe Laurinaitis. And I know everybody obviously knows, well, and maybe they don't. You know, of course, everybody knows Animal is was a professional wrestler, but he also did competitive bodybuilding and played college football. And James's mother was a competitive bodybuilder as well. And then she, I think, track and field she was involved in, or something else other than the bodybuilding. So, and the crazy thing is, somewhere in the house here, I've got a Christmas card from the family with James on it, and I'm going to have to hang on to that. That may be some historic value. But he was named Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, and, you know, I think something like 13 tackles and interception, which set up a field goal, and, man, he certainly has opened the season with a bang.
Excellent. It must run in the family.
Yeah, I would say.
Because Lord knows Animal is a great athlete.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about Raw and that some of the critics, you know, panned it pretty heavy and didn't lie. I think the one thing that's going on there that it makes wrestling sense to me, if people understand what I'm saying by wrestling. In other words, it's logical and wrestling terminology is the way you Umaga is, and the Kane thing is being built now. I wasn't real crazy with the whole thing with him and Flair, but I hate to see Flair just used as cannon fodder. But I think the way they're building Kane and Umaga makes sense. And you know, we talked about it with Rosie, and we've talked about it a couple other times, is whether by accident or by design, I think he's being brought along slowly. And the longer you can drag it out and build the anticipation, I think the stronger his character will be.
Yeah. I think it's going good. It's by the book, and you know, it's to me one of the matches that I'd be interested in watching.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
I don't know if you've heard this story. Oh, before we get to that though, I do want to make mention of Trish Stratus. Her last Raw match was last night.
Yeah. Now some people said, well, what was she hugging Mickie James for? You know, here is a part of you know, where I think you can break character, because she's not coming back anytime soon.
Right.
You know, and if people don't know, she's getting married, and so, you know, and maybe never, you know, maybe she's going to have children, and you know, I don't know her and her husband's plans, but I thought that it was emotional for her too. And I want to say this. I think of all the divas, females, whatever you want to call them, has been, you know, through that revolving door, on WWE. Here is a lady that came in as an athlete, but having no prior knowledge of professional wrestling, and set out to be good.
And that accomplished.
She has my she has my admiration for that and my respect. And and she's done well. She's and as she said last night, thanks for going on this awesome ride with her. And it is an emotional thing that you, to be good at this business. You've got to give 100% of yourself, and sometimes that necessitates you. Shortchanging family, friends, yourself in some respects. So, my hat's off to her, and, I hope she's happy with her marriage and, lives happily ever after.
Absolutely. And one thing that I have to add, and, people might question my preferences after this, but that was the coolest belt I'd ever seen. That Trish Stratus was wearing. It was the tackiest thing I've ever seen. And the coolest thing.
I was kind of fascinated, but then, that's one of the things, to me, the minor details in professional wrestling is what makes you a believer. And, to say two things. I love Chris Daniels. He's a class act. He's a good guy. He's a tremendous performer. But, like, they came out in that street fight thing a couple weeks ago, he and dress slacks, how serious can you be? And with her dress, I think when the girls are more fashion conscious than they are talent conscious, that distracts too. I don't know that fans sit and think about it as I think about it, but I think subconsciously it does trigger, a negative response in the fan's subconscious.
It did, the belt did actually distract me. I kept staring at it. I want a belt like that. Les, I'm going to get a belt like that from somewhere.
Well, okay, Doc, and I hope you're not planning on coming out of the closet as well.
No, but see, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to wear it to the bar.
All right,
and instead of saying, cool things, it'll have, like, cheesy pickup lines on it.
Yeah.
It'll be like, hey, baby, how are you?
Okay. To go off in another direction. Yeah, real quick.
Thanks for saving the show, Les.
Okay. Well, you were getting into your fashion, and I've seen pictures. I've seen your picture, Doc. You wear black, and then you wear another shade of black, and then another shade of that black, and so we probably won't see you on Gentleman GQ at any point in time. Anyway, Denver was a lot of fun. Dr. Tom and I were out there. My Matt Stryker was there. Those guys, Fusion Pro Wrestling and Altitude Pro Wrestling Academy, which is run by a former student of mine, and Sarge is they've really upgraded. I'm impressed the way he trains his guys and the way he runs his shows, but this year they have purchased all-new security railing. They have a very big rear projection set up, which gives video entrances to their people. Their entrance way has curtains with their name Fusion across it, very professionally done.
Sweet.
They built two light poles that are set up on opposite ring posts and without being, what am I trying to say, without interfering with what's going on with the wrestling, but so they can kill the entire house, house lights. They have these three young ladies who they call the Fusion Fire, sort of like the Nitro Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just TNA. They've got professional routines. They opened the show, then they came out just after intermission, and it's very all professionally done. I was very impressed. We did the entire training camp shows in the hotel where we stayed, the Red Lion in Denver, and they used the ballroom. And they're drawing between 170 and 270 per show in there, and without benefit of television or anything. So, and it was a good show, I thought, from top to bottom. Probably the outstanding young guy that I've seen improve there would be Paul Diamond, who's a cruiserweight that Jeff trained. So, anyway, it was a good time. I just wanted to throw that in.
Cool.
I love seeing independent promotions being professional because Lord knows there's enough that aren't.
I'm not going to mention anything.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard this or not, though, but according to PW Insider, Bobby Eaton on Thursday issued a statement And I'm just going to read what it says. It says, thank you for all the kind words and well wishes, but I must admit that I did not have a medical emergency. What did happen was I have had high blood pressure, and during a visit to the doctor, he found out I had a slight hint of sugar diabetes. Looking forward to seeing all of my fans as I plan to keep all my scheduled dates.
Okay.
Now, last week we reported, of course, on the show that right. he had had a heart attack.
Well, I'm going to say this. I won't repute what Bobby is a personal friend, and I have a high amount of respect for him. And if he says the moon is green with purple polka dots, I'll go for it. But you know, I think he's just, I don't know. I hope he's doing, you know, obviously he's doing what he wants to do, or what he loves to do, whether it should be done or not. That's a horse of another color,
right.
You know, but I wish him well. And, I just, you know, I hope that he takes care of himself. I don't think, that, the information I got that he had was spent time in intensive care was wrong because of the person, you know, who it came from. But anyway,
right.
Again, if he says the moon is, you know, chartreuse, it's chartreuse, man. I'll go for it.
Absolutely. And on Thursday, it was widely reported that WWE had changed its wellness policy enforcement. According to reports, a first drug test failure will now result in 30 days lost pay. But a requirement to continue appearing for WWE as scheduled without any time off will now take place. That means that WWE won't see any interruptions to their storylines like they had a few months ago at the pay-per-view, the SmackDown pay-per-view.
You know what? I read that, I heard that, and then I've heard a couple of people talking about it. And actually, for a change, I was listening and wasn't running my mouth. They made a point that is this legal to ask you to work without compensation, and especially in a physical business like this, you know, one of these people made the comment that well, you know, opposed to the company keeping their money and not, you know, not compensating the wrestler. What if they took that wrestler's pay if he's going to work? And gave it to a charity of his choice, their choice, but gave it to a charity nonetheless.
Sort of like a fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes more sense than just keeping their money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's. I don't know. I don't know the legalities of it, nor will I ever have the opportunity to find out because A, I'm too old to wrestle for WWE, and I don't plan to get suspended if I were to do that. So.
Right.
But.
Well, it seems like two or three days later, Randy Orton appears to have been the first to fail this new drug policy.
Yeah, Randy's having his problems, isn't he? You know what? I know that family. His grandfather I wrestled, as you remember us talking about when he passed away here just a while back.
Yes.
And Bob
Orton Sr.
Yeah, Bobby Jr. and I worked in a couple of different territories together, and I've socialized with he and Randy's mom. And, gosh, you know, the kid's got a lot of talent, and I just, for whatever reason, I don't think he's a screw-up on purpose. I think it's just, maybe it's his nature, you know, his personality. I hope he gets his act together because he's certainly got a future in this business, and obviously that's the biggest company where he's going to be able to make the most money.
Absolutely,
you know,
yes.
You don't want to see him lose that.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna discuss this a little bit further when Brian Alvarez joins us in a little bit.
I'd like to mention something about as last week I was traveling, and the wife and I went out on Thursday and came home with a horrible layover in Chicago Sunday. We spent a week in Chicago one day on Sunday, anyway, with bad weather and planes being held up. But I got the chance when we got home to watch last Thursday's TNA, and you've heard me say this over and over, I so much want them to be good and to be an alternative and to make it. But I was, I won't say distressed, but... rather taken aback with the whole lie detector test thing because they made a joke out of it. And so you can't ask the fans to suspend their disbelief when you don't give them anything to suspend it with. You know, and in real world, if you're sitting there with some kind of goofy toy pinching your toe and with a martini and a cigarette, I don't believe the man conducting that that lie detector test is even going to start. You know, so the validity of the whole thing and just, you know, I think that's the problem with the industry across the board. You know, when we were in Denver, this was a conversation that came up with the promoters out there, and Dr. Tom and myself is like, you know, at an independent level especially, as people are learning, they need to learn their trade, the foundation of their trade, not to veer off and do goofy things, you know, just because they see them being done somewhere else. Realize this, you know, WWE can afford to aggravate a couple million people and still get rich, right? Mm-hmm. At the independent level, they can't afford to aggravate 10 people because they need every buck that comes in. Plus, that's where the guys need to learn their trade, you know? But anyway, with the deal with TNA, I think to be an alternative, they don't need to go down that path of just, you know, of weak comedy. I think if they were tend to lean more towards a serious vein, and you know, work to suspend disbelief. That you know, I don't know why their ratings are down. I'm not a soothsayer, but obviously because interest is down. I mean that's kind of common sense. But you know, I'd like to see that thing pull itself out of the fire. You know, and if they're looking to get an extra hour before the end of the year, which the rumor mill is saying, I would think the number is going to have to come up before Spike decides to, you know, to throw another hour in there.
Yeah.
Or maybe if they're talking to Goldberg, if they're talking, you know, everybody saying, well, they want Angle, well, whoever they want or don't want, if Spike is going into partnership with them financially, you know, Spike doesn't understand professional wrestling, but I know they understand numbers. You know, they're a television network.
Yeah, but if, you know, somebody like Angle or Goldberg coming in, that would be the thing to spike the ratings and keep it over.
Well, you know, Juan, I think Angle would give you long-term ratings, but again, as I said when we first talked about Kurt being let go by WWE, fired, whatever the hell you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
is as much as I would want him in my company, I would also want to see a doctor's letter saying that he is 100% healthy and capable of, you know, working a schedule with me. Although the TNA schedule obviously is a lot easier than WWE's, but still, I think his health should be paramount in everyone's mind rather than what he can do for them business-wise. Now with Goldberg, I think he'll spike the ratings, but he's, you know, here's a guy who's never actually learned the business. You know, I'm not, now when I say that, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. In fact, you know, a couple friends of mine say that he's a pretty good guy. So I don't really know him. But he's not a long-term talent. So I don't think you'll get the mileage out of him if you give him a year contract as they did out of Sting.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, again, what the value he will be. Obviously, the curiosity value of the first few TVs and maybe the pay-per-view. But, you know, with him, he's got to be carried. And when I say that, that's not an insult because there are guys in our business who can lead and there's guys in our business who need to be led, you know. So anyway, I do believe that curiosity-wise he'll do something for him, but they're going to have to sacrifice some of their long-term guys, some of their younger guys, if they're going to get him over. So then you got to decide, you know, which path to take and which one is the most value to you in the long haul, I think.
Yeah. I have to agree with that, and yeah, I think Angle is the better one, but like you said, it's really more important for him to be healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, once he does get healthy, TNA's schedule might be more to his liking.
Well,
I don't
know. Obviously for an older guy, when I say older guy, comparing him and Christian, he's obviously a few years older than Christian. I do believe that, you know, if you are injury prone or if that's been a problem of yours in recent history, then obviously TNA in terms of to have come to a financial agreement in terms of your health and longevity, then sure, it's obviously it's a better deal all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're Hermes Sadler too. So I mean, but I think there you can pick and choose if you want to work those shots or you don't want to work them. I did hear, as we talked about, Marvin Ward's TNT promotion going to be on the new MAV TV network. It actually was supposed to debut this month, and then it didn't. I mean, you know, they've changed that direction. And from what I'm hearing is the problem there was that TNT, the promotion, financial backing that they were expecting. And so the guys they were trying to get that had some steam or some name value weren't going to be able to pay. So they've, they just pulled out of the deal.
Right. Let me stop you right there, and let's go ahead and take a break real quick, and we're going to come back with more news. We've got Brian Alvarez coming up and Graham Coffin here on Wrestling Weekly. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We'll be right back after this.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name is Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nadelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. We got a little bit more news to get to. We're going to get to Brian Alvarez in just a little bit here. But before the commercial break, we were speaking about, of course, TNA and Les's thoughts on that. But we did mention on the show last week that what could only be described as an incredibly stupid fan jumped the guard railing at the TNA TV tapings in Orlando at the Impact Zone during the end of the segment that aired on Thursday involving Jeff Jarrett and Samoa Joe. Now, footage of the incident has now been posted on YouTube's website, showing the fan going over the railing, going up the steps, and halfway into the ring before Jeff Jarrett grabs him, gets him in a headlock. And then
what's this guy look like?
He was actually kind of big.
Yeah.
And,
well, you know, see, let me say this, and of course this goes back to when this was not an uncommon occurrence.
Right.
You know, during my career between 1960 and 1980, and of course, as I've said before, more people believed that wrestling was for real, and so, you know, riots and things like that were not uncommon, as you've heard us talk with, when we had Frankie Kane on and Don Fargo and so forth. We've all been through that. But I think any fans that decide this is something they might like to do, realize this. Once you cross that barrier, you then become a participant. And it's pretty much at least that was the way it was back in our day. And so... quite simply, your ass belongs to me.
Yeah.
If I've left the inside of that, security railing, and I'm starting up the aisle or something, and then there's a chance that maybe I can be held accountable. Inciting and whatever. But if you come into that ring, man, what happens to you is. is brought on by you, so, you know, that's not a smart move. That's not a smart move. Because the wrestler can't give that guy a lot of slack because his reputation's on the line.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen this happen. You know, the funny thing is, I've seen it happen where, I think the fan just loses perspective and is so into the match I saw this happen with a farmer on a show that I was on down in the Southeast years ago. But this guy had his snap brim hat and his big overalls on. And the funny thing was, he got to the middle of the ring, and you could just see the light bulb go on over his head, like, what am I doing here? And he looked around, and before anybody could touch him, he just bailed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and realized that he didn't belong there, you know. I guess in that respect, you can say that the wrestlers did their job, you know, by luring him in. But, of course, and that's another thing. You know, while we're on that subject, I know that this has been brought up in the legal battles back then, too, that, as the wrestler, you incited these people to this, so to a certain degree you can be held accountable.
I wouldn't go with that. Yeah, no.
Well, I don't either, but I know this is what, some lawyers for fans that have gotten into situations like this have used as a defense. So, the crazy thing in the legal situation of these things is I think there are times that the judges don't know, whether this is part of the show. You know, and that I've heard that said, you know, that they just throw aside. Some of these things have been thrown out because they think that it's just a cheap way to get publicity.
Right.
God only knows it's not 99.9% of the time, but, you know, that sometimes that's the stance they take.
You know, I really don't think did their jobs very well is security.
Yeah.
Because
well,
Jared...
You know, I had two incidents, and the one that I'm going to mention in Chattanooga, Tennessee years ago, and I'd even forgotten all about it, and I was subpoenaed to appear in court. A match that I have with a guy named Ron Wright, who we feuded up in the south, in the eastern part of Tennessee, up around and out of the Knoxville territory for years. But this was a match in Chattanooga, and I didn't touch anybody. Well, in fact, I had already left the ring and was back in the dressing room when this transpired. But the fan's lawyer decided that I was part of the inciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was. So I was one of the people that was sued in this thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was settled, I think, with the promoters out of court, so never had to show up for this thing. But yeah, I was subpoenaed for that, and I wasn't even within 10 feet of the guy when this went down.
Yeah. On the tape on YouTube, Jeff seemed to have had him for a good 4 or 5 seconds before security even got to the ring. I mean, he slowly stepped over the rail, walked to the ring, up the steps, and started to come through the ropes. Then Jeff grabs him, has him for about 3 or 4 seconds, and then security hits him. That's kind of slow, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
He should have never made it to the steps.
Yeah, no. I'll tell you, you know, I think today, too, we mentioned talking about going to indie shows. A lot of independents have no security. And I think that's unwise, to you know, because... you never know. I mean, it's just it's a precaution I think should be taken.
Very unwise.
You know?
Yeah.
We always when I had HWA, a lot of the times we'd use our students, and usually I wanted to use the biggest ones and the ones I thought would be the toughest. Because I mean, not that we want to set out to lure the fans into the ring or anything, but again, like I say, you just never know. You know, you don't expect it in this day and age, but then you know you can't discount it either.
Right. If you're going to have security, you might as well pick the biggest guys.
Yeah. Listen, since we've got two guests, and before we get to them, should we do our pick the winners for the WWE pay-per-view on Sunday?
Yeah, we can go ahead and do that. But
but you got something else going on.
Yes, I want to get a couple more stories in here.
Okay.
Because this is kind of big. It's kind of odd, but Chris Kanyon showed up at a WWE Raw house show Friday in Tampa. He was in the front row. He was later removed from ringside after displaying two signs to Triple H and Shawn Michaels when they came out. In his personal blog the day after, he explained why he showed up and what he hoped to say. According to him, he said that he learned he was released from WWE for being gay, and that he hoped to talk to Vince McMahon directly.
He's learned that, and how? I mean, we had Chris on, and I thought his talk about you know about his sexuality was very intelligent, and you know, I wasn't sure, as you know, what we were getting into.
Right.
I've always had a good you know a good rapport with Kanyon, and you know. Like the guy, but I don't. You know, I read a little bit about this on over the weekend. Again, like I say, I was kind of out of the loop because we ran that weekend training camp. But in hearing about this, I thought, why bother? Honestly, you know, I don't. It's not going to. I don't believe it'll get you a job. And then, of course, you know, some things aren't meant to be public.
Right.
And I tend to think, and I won't accuse Chris, I won't accuse WWE by removing what their motives were, but to me, it's not the kind of publicity I don't think that the company nor Chris should actually want. You know, I think as you know, you and I have talked about this in recent days too, that certain things should be kept in private. I think you know.
Yeah.
I know this is the day of all the you know the National Enquirer and all the. Everybody's, you know, talks about the dirt sheets, although I read them as well. But it's, I think there's certain things that just shouldn't be up for public consumption. And I think, you know, now when I first heard he'd gone, I thought, well, he was visiting backstage, which if he were, you know, and had a chance to talk to Vince, then that's between he and Vince. But I think the whole thing with the signs out front was a bit much, honestly.
Yeah, Cannon had said that he had been in contact in recent weeks, hoping to get a job there, but he hasn't gotten any word about whether they want to use him or not. In the blog, he talked about his return to SmackDown 2003, after his injury, where he was forced to wear a dress. He was forced to dress up like Boy George, come out of a crate, and sing, you know, in a high-pitched voice.
Right. I did not see that show. I read what you're telling me here, too, and I didn't see that show, so I really couldn't, you know. There, for whatever reason, it seems like, and more so in WWE than anywhere else, and I don't know the reasons behind it, but people are tested, you know, or penalized, as some people put it, for their speaking out or their opinions or their political beliefs or whatever it happens to be. I don't even know. Or because their head's getting big, you know. And, again, I'm not sure that publicly that's the thing to do either, you know?
Probably not. But he did mention those things as reasons to why he suspects that he was released from being gay. Plus, after that, they jobbed him out for a long time after that and then released him.
Well, you know, let me ask you a question. Let me ask your opinion here as a fan. Does it make sense to you that they've Chuck and Billy thing, that then you would turn around and penalize somebody who actually, and we know that Orlando Jordan has gone public with the fact that he's bisexual, and it was also, there was a storyline planned around that at one point, and then he ended up getting his butt canned for reasons other than his sexual preferences. So, you know, again, I don't know. Our double standards in wrestling, hell yes, but I don't know that, you know, why, if you have a legitimately gay guy, why wouldn't you involve him in something? He should obviously be able to play a gay person better than, you know, I mean, no, who can play Doc Young better than Doc Young?
Tom Cruise was.
Huh?
Tom Cruise is pretty close.
Tom Cruise,
yes.
Right. Oh, okay, Tom. I got you.
No, but seriously. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but, yeah, like, Billy and Chuck weren't really, you know, gay. If there was, like, a bias against gay people backstage, I could see them letting go of Canyon for that. I don't really believe, in my honest opinion, that Chris was let go because he was gay.
And I don't think it was for his lack of talent.
No.
You know, I honestly don't know why. I scratch my head at least several times a year when some guys get let go, and I'm thinking, why do you, you know, when I was in when I was part of the developmental system, people were released from our camp that I couldn't understand why, because they had talent. But again, that's one of the things about professional wrestling. You got to realize, in pro football, either you can play or you can't, right? Or baseball or basketball. Or in MMA, for that matter, you know, Ultimate Fighting. But in professional wrestling, as crazy as it seems, sometimes your talent has absolutely nothing with your being hired or fired.
Yeah.
You know, it has to do with your look or your attitude or whatever. So, you know, it's really a hard question to field and to answer, even if you're on the inside sometimes.
Yeah. So you don't really know. And Cannon can be an emotional person. And sometimes I think he kind of lets it get the better of him and does things like that on a whim that if he probably went back and thought about it, he probably wouldn't do it.
Well, yeah, you're right. And we'll see. And here's another thing, too, Doc. People in our business, entertainers for the most part, are a little left of center to begin with.
Yeah.
I don't mean that they're crazy or insane or anything like that, but they obviously emote, otherwise they wouldn't be able to do what they do.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, they're, probably a little more emotional than your average insurance salesman, let's say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so, you know. But then, see, to me, I don't mean that I'm unique or different. I'm sure a lot of other people are the same way. After all these years, I tend to accept some of this stuff. Not to say that I agree with it necessarily or disagree, for that matter. But it's just, it's part of the business, you know. So you deal with it and go on.
Yeah. You really do. And I really do hope Cannon gets,
yeah,
at least gets the answer.
He really is. And you know, here's the thing. He obviously enjoys the business, loves the business, you know, whatever terminology. And it's a shame that he, you know, I know guys that for whatever reason can't do what it is they want to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not cool, obviously. And it's a shame that everybody can't do, you know, have a job or an occupation that they love.
Absolutely. So, Cannon, I hope, if you're listening, I hope you get the answer that you're looking for, at least.
Yeah, me too.
We are going to go ahead and take a break. We're going to get...
We're not
going to
do our one and who's going to win for...
I think we'll get Brian on first because...
All right, Doc, whatever you say.
Because Brian has some things to do later, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't want to keep him
okay.
waiting. So we'll get Brian on, and then we'll, of course, play the pay-per-view prediction game. And then we've got Graham Coffin from, of course, the history of WWE.com.
Cool.
Coming up here on Wrestling Weekly, you're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We'll be right back, guys, after this.
Hi, my name is Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
There's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. On total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher, Wrestling Weekly. Welcome back, guys. On the line right now from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter, of course, the Brian and Vinny Show, Wrestling Observer, and a bunch of other stuff, man. Brian,
the death of WCW.
Yeah. I mean, geez, this guy is just nonstop wrestling. And this Sunday, he is going to wrestle his co-host on the Brian and Vinny Show, Vinny, in a big payday. Brian Alvarez is on the program. Brian, thanks for being on Hot Topic this week, man.
Thanks for having me on.
You know what? I told Doc we always pick the who our choice is to win on pay-per-views, and I said we've got to make a prediction on the Vinny and Brian thing as well.
Yeah.
That may get more viewers than with the pay-per-view this Sunday.
It's possible. You never know.
My goal is more viewers on YouTube than pay-per-view buyers, but now that they've got the TLC match, Hell in the Cell, Trish's retirement, I'm thinking they may beat us.
You think they might?
Barely.
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah.
As good as your payoff's going to be, we know their payoff's going to be better.
Right.
Yeah. True. But
if those listening or those in the chat room haven't checked it out, the next installment was the contract signing, and I found it rather funny. Vinny never shows up on time for anything. He comes in with a tie on his T-shirt.
And he mows rocks.
More importantly, I think he's aggravated with Brian, even for a payday, that he's not allowed just to do absolutely nothing, which obviously is his strong suit.
Yes. In fact, funny thing is, so much of that is based on reality, because he really did complain for a while about his payoff, and he really is always late, and it was pretty easy doing promos because, you know, it's just like many people have mentioned in WWE and TNA and everything when people cut promos. Now, sometimes you have these promos that are so scripted, and you're asked to play this character that is nothing like yourself, and you end up coming off as wooden. You're asking these pro wrestlers to be actors. And it really is easier when, you know, you just get to speak your mind and speak sort of from the heart, which is sort of what we did.
Aren't you afraid that the conclusion of this match may ruin the Brian and Vinny Show?
Absolutely not. If it has not been ruined yet, nothing can ruin it.
Like, what if you win and he gets embarrassed and he doesn't want to do the show with you anymore and he says you cheated and you know, there's all kinds of things that could happen.
I'm thinking that maybe we'll beat each other so badly that we'll be better friends afterwards and the show will improve.
It's possible. Anything's possible. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Check it out, guys, at f4wonline.com. You can see all the videos there.
What time should that be up on Sunday, Brian?
We haven't decided if we're going to have it just go at 5 o'clock head-to-head with the pay-per-view or what we're going to do. But
so
you should
five
do
o'clock
it.
There would be 8 o'clock Eastern, right?
Yeah, 8
yes.
o'clock.
Okay.
So we may have a preliminary match up around noon.
Oh, you're going to have a card then?
Perhaps.
There's
some
rock.
Trainees that that may be involved in a match, so we shall see.
Sweet. And as a special added attraction, Doc versus Les, Connect Four.
The game changes every week, I've noticed.
Or we can play Cluedo.
Go Fish.
Something like that. Yeah, it could be a dark match.
Sure.
We could have a Doc would like to do a diva search if you'll let him.
That would be great, yes. Just bring him on into Buddy's garage and, you know, I'll start holding up cards. But
sure.
Who's going to do the play-by-play on this thing, Brian?
There probably will be no play-by-play on Sunday, but on the DVD, we're going to have commentary. It won't, like, be wrestling commentary. It'll just be, like, a commentary track where probably me, Buddy, and Vince will just talk
like
about
the two guy. What's the cheap seats on ESPN?
Sure, or just basically any movie DVD where they have commentary
yeah.
by the actors and directors and that sort of thing.
Or you could leave it completely without commentary, and it can rival the big Mankind Undertaker Boiler Room Brawl.
That's right, or the that Samoa Joe Kenikabashi match. That's the one I want to compare this one to.
Excellent. We got a couple questions in the chat room. People are already asking you questions. It's not necessarily about the Brian and Vinny match, but it is about you. And Mark has a question. He was asking about the death of WCW book. He wants to know who the most fun person to interview was while writing the book.
We didn't interview anybody on the record, so I really can't say.
Yeah,
so.
I don't see a lot of people. It's like, we're writing a story on how your company, like, failed and exactly who's to blame for it. Would you like to be in the book, you know?
Well, I mean, we talked to a lot of people, but there were a lot of people that were working for WWE at the time.
Right.
And, you really couldn't go in and get on the record comments because no one's supposed to talk to me, so.
Right.
I think as far as passing the buck, Doc, there probably was a record-setting number of bucks being passed as that company went into the sunset.
Yeah, but if you guys haven't read The Death of WCW, there is one culprit in the book that is at fault, and you have to read the book to find out who that is.
That's right. Somebody just asked me. Actually, they didn't ask me. I was reading a thread. I had just written the road report from the Battle of Los Angeles, and somebody said, you need to write a book, and I thought I did. It struck me as funny for some reason.
Were you down for the Battle of Los Angeles?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
oh yeah.
Cool. Let me ask you because we had Davey Richards on last week, and I had the chance to train with him for 3 days back in the spring. What do you think?
What I think of the tournament?
No, of Davey, of Richards.
I remember him from. All the way back.
That's right. He's up from around your part of the country anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, I think his first training was with us.
Yeah.
He had done some MMA in Spokane, or I think it was Spokane. And he came up to train at Tim Flowers' school. And the Tim Flowers ICW Wrestling School, there was a wrestler named The Chef who was sort of the owner of ICW, except Tim ran the show. But Chef's grandmother put up the money for everything, so Chef was sort of... Anyway, the point is, Chef's backyard, the ring was set up back there. That was the wrestling school. And, you know, I don't want to bury the wrestling school, but Tim never did anything. He lived in Canada, and, you know, you had some guys in the wrestling school that probably should have been in wrestling school, not running the wrestling school.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, so Davey came up, and there was really nothing for him to learn there, and he did some shows, and you know, like once a month he'd do a 5-minute match, and there were a couple of times when we went down to Oregon for Tito Carrion, and he came down with us and did like a 5-minute match with just some random guy, and I mean, you could tell that he had potential, but when he left, he ended up leaving the area and did some stuff with Tony Kazina in Oregon and went down to California. And then I saw him again like 2 years later and just unbelievably improved.
Yeah.
And he's very, very good, and he's got the right attitude. I think that you know, he understands that there's too much head dropping, there's too many high spots, there's too much of a lack of psychology in wrestling. He loves Dynamite Kid, loves, you know, the Dynamite Tiger Mask stuff, watches all that stuff, watches the Finlay from back in that era and everything like that, and that's what he wants wrestling to be, and unfortunately, that's not how it is, but I could tell from watching his match in several matches, actually. I think he had three matches over the weekend. And you could tell from watching it that he sees a formula in indie wrestling, which is chain wrestling at the beginning. One dude gets the heat, and then you drop the guys on their head 15 times, bunch of near falls, and go to the finish. And he sees a formula, and I think he really wants to break away from that formula. And in his three matches, he did. They were different from everything else. And part of the problem was you had a bunch of fans who were expecting the indie formula. So when he broke away from that formula, even though it was totally fine, at some point it wasn't what they wanted to see. And I remember that he had one match, I think it was the match with Roderick Strong. I can't remember, but the finish, they didn't do all the head-dropping near falls before the finish, and so at first there were some people booing. Because they didn't want the match to have ended so early. They wanted the near falls, and that's not what they got. But, I mean, technically, I mean, the match was totally fine, and it was really good stuff. So I give him a big thumbs up, basically, to the chase.
I was impressed, and with his, like you say, with his attitude. And then I had told Doc, too. I said, you know, back in May when I worked with him, I said, how long have you been in the business? Well, I started in 2004.
'04, he broke in.
Yeah. I said, no, come on, really, when did you, you know, because he, you know, his, well, kind of like Samoa Joe, his maturity as far as in the ring was surpassed the time that he's actually been in the business, and I was very impressed with his work ethic and his thirst for knowledge, and that was, I see a future for the guy, I think. I wish there were more of him.
It was Davian Austin Aries, that was the match.
Yeah. Tony Kazina, I know, too. He's moved to Charlotte, too. He was... He also trained with us down there for the 3 days.
Yeah,
he worked with Tony before.
Yeah, I had one match with him in Portland Wrestling, and I thought it was really good. And that was really the only time we, you know, we were in the area for so long, but he never worked for Tim, and you know, we'd cross paths, but never had a match. And then we had that one match, and it was really fun. And then that was like probably a couple of months before I retired. So that was
end. One of the early retirees, and now here you're fitting the mold, aren't you? You're coming out of retirement.
I am. I don't know if you can call it coming out of retirement. I'm having a one-time only return at this point. Technically, I'm still retired.
Okay.
Professor VNS in the chat room, he wants to know if Dave Meltzer has stepped forward to challenge the winner of the match.
You know, I would have been so happy to have a match with Dave. I figure, you know, Dave should have a match at some point. That's what I always thought.
He should.
And I thought I'd have a match with him. I wouldn't beat him up or hurt him or anything like that. And, you know, we could do something. But I don't think it's ever going to happen.
He wouldn't have the ring win, but as far as conditioning, he's been lifting for years and is obviously in good shape.
Yeah, he's always worked out. I think there was a period a couple of years ago where I think he said he got out of shape just because he had the family. And was working all the time and didn't have the time to get to the gym. But I think recently he started, I can't remember what he said his exercise routine was, a lot of running up the stairs at his house and different things like that. But he's tried to sort of get back into it. So I think that, you know, he's...
Well, he and his wife met at the gym, did they not?
I believe they did.
Yeah, I think so.
And he's 45 right now, and I think for a 45-year-old guy, he's in pretty damn good shape.
I had no idea. You know, I've never, as many years as I've known him, I've never asked his age, and you just shocked me with 45. I was figuring, you know, in his 30s somewhere.
Well, he's ageless. He's timeless.
Yeah, and he's in rock shape.
Yeah. I mean, he's been doing The Observer for 25 years now.
If I stopped to think about the longevity of that, I would have known he had to be older than I suspected. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Brian, let's move on to the hot topic of the week. Now, this is a story that I really haven't researched because it just depresses me. I haven't gone through the whole
thing.
That
could be a million things.
And we want you to tell us the story, tell us the buzz. Randy Orton and the failed drug test. What's the story on that?
Okay. WWE has drug testing, and they implemented it after Eddie Guerrero passed away, and it was a very strict policy. And the policy called for drug testing, which would be overseen by a third party. The third party would choose the guys to test. It would test them. It would get the results. This third party would be responsible for everything, handing out the punishments, the whole nine yards. This wasn't a deal where they would give the results to Vince and Vince would decide what to do.
Right.
Vince claimed the power was completely out of his hands. And the policy stated that the first offense was like a 30-day suspension. Second was 60-day suspension. And the third was termination. And what happened was they did the first round of testing, and the idea was nobody would be punished for this first testing. They were going to check everybody's levels. The average testosterone, the epitestosterone ratio is 1-to-1 for a human, and if you were 25-to-1, you wouldn't fail. They just wanted to see where you were at,
mm-hmm.
because you had to get off everything.
Right.
So if you tested at 25-to-1, and they retested you and you were at 23-to-1, that was still technically you would pass. So they did the second round of testing, and this happened to be or one of the rounds of testing. It was probably the second round. The first one with penalties came in July, right before the Great American Bash pay-per-view, and they tested the SmackDown roster, and a whole bunch of guys got busted, and Lashley got busted, the Great Khali got busted. So both guys ended up getting pulled from the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view had to be reshuffled. The results came in like on a Friday or something like that, and they had to reshuffle it for the pay-per-view the following Sunday, like 2 days later.
Right.
So this whole thing went down, and the pay-per-view got shuffled all around, and at that point, Vince McMahon decided that everything needed to change. So the policy was changed to where now, if you fail a drug test, on the first offense, you are suspended for 30 days without pay, but you're not taken off TV. And the second, I guess the second offense would be 60 days without pay, and no one seems to know yet what the third strike would be. Back in the day, they didn't have a three-strike rule. You could fail 10 drug tests and still have a job, which is exactly what happened to Scott Hall. And he didn't end up... in fact, being suspended until he announced he was going to WCW, and then they dropped the ball. But so could be the same situation here. We don't know. But anyway, Orton failed, so he is on a 30-day suspension. He is not getting paid for 30 days. He will have his road expenses paid if he does house shows. But they pulled him from house shows for 2 weeks, which is how everybody found out that he failed a drug test. Because the deal is, before the policy was changed, pretty much everybody had to know who failed. Because if you were a wrestler and you were in a program, say with Lashley, you pretty much figured out because Lashley was no longer in the program with you.
Right.
If you were a writer, you obviously had to know because you had to write this guy out of storylines or write storylines without him involved. Now that guys aren't taken off TV, nobody has to know. And there were people very high up in WWE that didn't even know Randy Orton had failed the test even after it had gotten out on the internet. So everything is very, very secretive now, and you can argue whether it's fair to make a guy work without being paid, whether that's fair or not, but that's the situation with Randy. He's going to be losing five figures over the next month and pretty much doing TV for free.
Wow.
You know, there's something that I brought up at the top of the show when we touched on this briefly and mentioned that we were going to talk to you with it about it, the legalities of having them work for nothing. I'm not sure either, but I heard the discussion between a couple other people, and someone mentioned that instead of just pocketing the money back into the corporation, why not donate it to whoever's being suspended's favorite charity?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there are a number of ways to look at it. I mean, if they rewrite the policy and say, here's the deal, you basically, if you fail the test, you are going to be working on TV for free. You know, it could be a deal where if you refuse, they have the option of releasing you.
Right.
And you know, which would be, it would be totally legal if that's what the policy says. And if you want to say no, I'm not working for free, then they can release you. And you know, most of the guys, they don't want that release.
No.
Because you're not going to make that same kind of money in TNA or anywhere else. So
you know, I'm going to tell you guys a real quick story here about the shelf life of anabolics. The gym I trained in when I lived in Knoxville, excuse me, the masseur there was a health nut. And now here was a guy who was in his early 50s, in decent shape, but certainly not ripped or shredded or anything. It wasn't even a serious lift. I mean, he lifted for conditioning, simply. Anyway, long story short, he began gaining weight, and he adjusted his diet and continued to gain weight. And on and on and on. So anyway, he's going to the doctor to find out what this is, and then just his general practitioner couldn't help him. And, of course, University of Tennessee has a great medical department there. So he went in for testing, and he had been purchasing his beef in large quantities from the slaughterhouses. And lo and behold, finally it came around to discovering that the antibiotic steroids that had been given to the cattle was still active in the beef that he was eating.
Well, oh, wow.
Yeah. And so anyway, when he cut cut the beef out, quit buying it there, and started dropping his weight again.
That's crazy.
But that, I mean, so you know, that stuff can kick in at the oddest time. And the reason I'm bringing it up is what Brian was saying, you know, where the numbers should be going down at a steady rate, which won't always be the case.
Well, the thing also in the early 90s when they did steroid testing, I mean, there were guys who actually did get off everything, and when they retested, their levels were actually higher because of how things interact in your body. And, you know, that's just sort of the reality of the situation, but it's things that guys are going to have to deal with.
Yeah, sure. You're right.
I mean, it is sort of funny when you take an illegal substance and then you complain about, you know, well, I got off it, and it's not fair that the levels are higher now. Sort of, you were taking a legal substance, so,
right.
You know.
Now, did they ever say what he tested positive for?
No, and probably we won't find out unless, no. You know.
So in the future, a lot of these guys could, you know, possibly or most likely fail these drug tests, and nobody will ever know it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure. I was told a number of Raw guys had failed, and really the only person that I heard was Orton. So there are others.
Oh, wow. The change in the wellness policy. Now, this happened about 2 days before the story came out that Randy Orton had failed. Do you think one has anything to do with the other?
What do you mean?
Well, the wellness policy came out, the change in the wellness policy, where they would be suspended without pay but still work, came out widespread on the news on Thursday.
Yeah, but this had happened well before then.
Okay.
I think what the way Brian laid it out is probably as factual as it's going to get is the fact that it disrupted their storylines in one thing and another. So that's
right.
The basic reason that's been changed to that. Brian, you're obviously a much younger guy than I am, and maybe would figure more of the mindset. I don't, and it's not just Randy Orton in professional wrestling, but just today, here in Cincinnati, a couple of the Bengals got into some legal deals in the off season. But you got to wonder, why would a guy jeopardize that kind of income and future? It's just I marvel. I mean, not to say that I never went out and partied when I was wrestling, or you know, because I certainly did. But then I always took the stance that once you're recognized, you're violating some of the promotion's rules, then you know you're putting yourself in jeopardy, your income in jeopardy, and when you're out in public, you're representing not only yourself but the people you work for as well.
Well, I think in Orton's case, the answer is he's just stupid. I mean, this is hardly the first thing he's done. I mean, this dates all the way back to when, you know, he decided he wanted to be a wrestler and he went AWOL.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly the smartest thing in the world, and it's been one thing after another since then. So I think in his case, he's just, you know.
Right. Well, you know what? I knew that he stayed in Corny's and Jimmy's doghouse with some regular Jimmy and Danny's when he was down in OVW. At that point in time, I realized, you know, that, well, it's a smaller organization, so things obviously stood out more than they would in a larger company. A, B, Jimmy was probably more of a disciplinarian, you know, than the bigger company would be overall. So I didn't think that much of it, but and the stakes weren't as high at that point, you know. But that's just you know, when you say he's dumb, but he's not. He is and he's not. You get my point?
It's not so much. He just basically he's had behavioral issues forever.
Right.
And I don't even know if dumb is the right word because it's almost in a strange way by design. I mean, it's just like he doesn't care. I mean, he doesn't. He's one of those guys that does not see the consequences of his actions. It's just he does what he does. That's it.
That's about puts it.
Here's something too that you know, I was had this conversation with somebody about this whole deal over the weekend, and they made a point too and said, you know, if Angle's expendable, then everybody's expendable.
I actually disagree with that.
Do you?
Because I see the reason Angle was released was not, it was not to prove a point, and it was not because they felt he was expendable. It was because of a real fear that he was going to die under their watch.
Right.
And, I mean, if you look at every circumstance in the Angle situation, the fact that in February he can go anywhere he wants, the fact that they know that if UFC wanted him and if he wanted to go to UFC, they could put together a match with Brock Lesnar that would do double what WrestleMania did this year. They know all that. And they still let him go because of this fear that, I mean, they feel he's so far gone that it's almost inevitable that something's going to happen. Otherwise, there's no way. There's absolutely no way they would have cut him loose.
Right. Well, you know, I've said to Doc, I know that, you know, obviously TNA and probably, you know, some of the MMA groups are salivating, you know, at the possibilities of what they can do with him. But as much money as I feel I could make with a guy, the first thing I would want to see before I sat down and went to carry the conversation in terms of contract any further was a release from his doctor saying he was, you know, he was healthy enough to participate. And do you see him in a MMA situation? I mean, I understand our business is a work, you know, and he's easier protected in that instance. But I think it would just be.
Well, there's a lot of ways to look at it. He wants to go to UFC, and UFC wants him. So it seems almost inevitable that something's going to be set up there. And the main reason he wants to go is because he realizes that, you know, we talked last time I was on about TNA and $500,000 a year and that sort of thing, which is better than $0 per year and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he could, if he fought the right guy in UFC, he could make over $1 million for one night.
Sure.
And, you know, from talking to people that have done both MMA and pro wrestling is way harder on the body.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would obviously have to pass a physical. He would obviously have to, he would be drug tested if he were in the main event of the show. A lot of different scenarios there. But just as far as if he is able to train and actually participate in a fight, he could make so much more in UFC than anywhere else. And, you know, he's the sort of guy that would probably give it a shot.
You know, now that you explain it that way, I would tend to, you know, I hadn't thought about it, the fact that they do drug test for it. Yeah, so, yeah, I can see your point. And you're right. Well, you know, that's the thing, and a lot of people think, well, it's real fighting and it's barbaric and all this, but they're not taking any power bombs off the top of those octagons.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk to fighters, they will almost always tell you that it's always the training that's so brutal because you're doing it every single day, you're going at 80%, you're just, you know, you're training to have a fight. And the actual fight itself, often, you know, you get out of there with very, very little damage. And the question is, you know, can he do that sort of training? I mean, clearly he would be able to train to have the cardio. The question is, you know, all the other facets of it, such as learning stand-up, learning the ground game. I mean, it's more than just being able to take guys down.
Yeah. Last week in reading the Observer, Dave had Angle's leg routine from preparing for the Olympics, and having been a competitive bodybuilder, I looked at this and I thought, my God, I couldn't last through that. I mean, I couldn't focus. I don't believe that a man, you know, it's unbelievable a man could push himself like that.
Yeah.
I mean, when you read Angle's training logs for the 96 Olympics, the first thing you're struck with is he had to have been on a number of drugs, because a person could not do this naturally.
Right.
But obviously, you know, he was tested and he passed all his tests, so I'm not going to say he was on something, but the other thing that really strikes you is, even if he were on everything, I mean, that's still an insane workout.
Yes.
I mean, even if he were taking every drug under the sun to help with recovery and that sort of thing, this is the sort of workout that, like, he literally was maybe the only human being on the planet Earth that could have done that routine.
Yeah.
And he really did it.
And you know, and reading that, I realized that he started breaking his body down then. I mean, You know, it just didn't happen 7 years ago when he got in professional wrestling. I mean, it began way back then, because, like you say, a human being just can't stand up under a steady barrage of that. There's just no possible way.
Right.
Yeah.
Brian, we're going to have to let you go. We're running out of time, but we'll see you again.
Well, before we let him go, I want to say that, and not because he's on here, but if we're picking a winner, I got to pick Brian. He's, you know, I just think the better athlete and the more committed, and I don't mean it's mentally committed, or needs to be, but that's my pick, Doc. So go ahead. What's yours?
I would also have to go with Brian for the same reasons. Not because he's on the show, but he, you know, he was more into the training, and Vinny just kind of ate and mowed some rocks and showed up late and
mowed some rocks. You keep going back to that.
I strongly agree with both of you. I just want you to know that, and I thank you for your support.
Well, and if you do win with this huge payoff, if you happen to make it to CAC next year, then I'll expect lunch, for Christ's sake.
I will be happy to buy you lunch next year when we go down.
Check it out, guys. F4WOnline.com, the home of Figure Four Wrestling Weekly Newsletter, also the home of the Brian and Vinny Show. And you can
a brand new newsletter coming out in just a couple of hours, kids.
Excellent. Right. And you can also hear Brian on the Wrestling Observer Show with Dave Meltzer.
That's right.
All right.
Brian, it's always a pleasure, and good luck on Sunday, man. I got my fingers crossed.
Thank you both.
All right. Stay healthy out there, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It's tough business.
Care,
bye-bye. We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we are going to quickly run down the pay-per-view for this weekend and play the pay-per-view prediction game. Graham Coffin from the history of WWE.com is coming up. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you at Wrestling Weekly. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday night. Les?
Yes.
We had a small conversation last week, and we need to watch what we say on the air, because sometimes I just don't realize how far-reaching we are. But we had a little small conversation last week, and I had mentioned that the last time we had R.D. Reynolds on the show, you pretty much told him that you didn't like his CD for many reasons, which was called the worst of R.D. Reynolds.
Well, the biggest thing, Doc, was that, you know, when you dedicated your life, it's just, you know, I had this conversation with a guy about hobbyists in our business at the independent level versus the guys who want to make it. And I said, well, you know, there's a lot of people play golf that are never going to win the Masters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to get a chance to train with the top guys either.
Right.
Because they're just getting away. And I think if there's some way to separate that, I don't have a problem with it. Otherwise, offended, not necessarily, but it's just, you know, it's like it gives everybody a bad taste, I think.
Yeah. Well, I got an email today from R.D., and he had said that somebody had emailed him and told him that last week on the show that I had said that we had heat with each other. And he said, did I do anything to offend you guys? And I wrote
No.
him back, and I was like, no, absolutely not. And
No.
I explained to him that...
Well, what you said, as I recall, was that you hadn't talked to him since he was on the show.
Right.
And we commented that possibly we had offended him.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, good. I hope not, because he's got a new book coming out, and I'd love to have him on the show once we get a chance to look at the book and discuss it.
Yes. So at least he did finally get a hold of me after.
Well, good.
He said he's just been really busy, but he will come on and plug the book and everything. But don't misconstrue what we say, guys. Keep it, you know, if you're going to quote us, get it right.
That's one of the things about the Internet, is it not?
Yes, it's true. But, you know, enough about that. In R.D., there's no heat with Doc or Les or R.D.
Cool,
Reynolds.
No, as a matter of fact, he was co-author with Brian on The Death of WCW.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good book.
And I have WrestleCrap as well, and I've read that, and I find that funny, you know.
Yes, it's a good destination.
Yeah, it really is.
Also want to, quickly, before we play the pay-per-view prediction game, I need to tell everybody a big announcement. I'm in the wrestling business.
Oh, my God.
That's what I told Les. Now, Les will probably hate this because he's been talking about hobbyists, but, I mean, it's kind of like, it's something this is something that I've always wanted to do, and I've always wanted to try it, and right now I'm in the position to be able to try this and see if I have any adeptness for it, to put it that way. I'm going to be promoting a wrestling show in my area on October 7th for Frontier Elite Wrestling. It's going to be in Vincennes, Indiana, and due to, you know, Les and his connections, we've got Rosie to headline.
And, you know, everybody listening and in the chat room is holding their breath. They thought you were going to say, I'm going to wrestle.
I am not going to wrestle. I'm still going to ring announce.
And if my schedule permits, we hope to show up and hang out as well.
Absolutely. You know, that would be awesome. And if you guys, the fans, the listeners of the show, are interested in actually seeing what goes down at this indie show that I'm going to promote, If there's enough interest in it, we will create a DVD of the day, and including the show, and after the show, and before the show, and we will sell it.
Okay.
We will sell it on the Wrestling Weekly website. We will have, you know, some cameras follow us around all day, and basically document the day and the show. And, you know, if it goes horrible, then it will go horrible, and you can all make fun of me.
Well, you know what? It's the first attempt, Doc. We won't judge you for the rest of your life on that.
Yes.
We just won't. And like, while we're talking about those listening in the chat room, I guess I should give a shout-out to my – you've mentioned Tony's in the chat room, my friend the chef from down around Charlotte. Hey, Tony.
Yes, your friend Tony.
The other thing is I never sit in front of a computer when I'm doing this show, so I couldn't tell you who's in the chat room. So anyway, but hey, Tony, a shout-out to you.
You should make it a special, you know, a special thing one day that you come in and chat with the fans.
You know what? I barely can chew gum and walk at the same time. So all this modern technology, man. We just got Bluetooth for our phone, and I'm trying to learn all this.
That's true. You're still
teaching an old dog new tricks.
You're still learning about those SIM cards on cell phones.
Yeah, and I actually in just the last few months, I've actually learned how to cut and paste on the computer.
Are you kidding me,
Doc? You young guys grew up on these things. You got to realize my wife indoctrinated me when we sold the gym 3 years ago. I never touched a computer at HWA. Never. I mean,
wow.
People printed out emails to me. I wrote longhand replies, and they typed them in. I had a lot of things. If I can't concentrate on something, once we set the computer up here at home, and she made me get my feet wet, then I, you know, and of course, you know, I do the weekly column on the thing and all that. So, and I'm picking up a little bit, but you know what I need, and it's fascinating. And if I thought I'd live long enough, I might get involved in other aspects of it. But anyway, go on. That's neither here nor there. Move on.
But let's go ahead and run down the card for Unforgiven. It's timeless. It's time to play the pay-per-view prediction game.
Okay.
And you know, I've been doing pretty good this year. I mean, we decided to start playing this game in December, but this could be your weekend.
Are you keeping who's ahead of total for the year? I know you are. If it's you.
No, I'm actually not. But
okay.
I'm so far ahead of you. You could probably win for the rest of the year.
But you are so far ahead of me anyway, emotionally, mentally, spiritually.
And that's because I am now a professional promoter and I'm in the biz.
So that means you can cheat the boys like everybody else. Okay.
Ah, right. That was so wrong. Anyway, let's start off with Kane versus Umaga. Big match, one I'm looking forward to.
I think they'll slip Umaga over some way. It kind of makes sense too, because I think they, you know, here again you don't know, but I think they're looking him on down the road to work with some of the guys. You know, maybe Cena, maybe I don't know. You know. But I think Umaga in some way, shape, or form, possibly with the help of the manager.
I agree with you there. I think Umaga is meant to be higher on the card. This whole big push would be for nothing if he was going to lose to Kane now. Kane really hasn't been pushed since this movie came out.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Umaga also. The next one is Carlito versus Randy Orton.
You know, that's... if we're into the punishment game, then obviously Carlito. But I more tend to believe Orton, because I think they're playing. You know, here again, we go back to our conversation with Brian. But I think their plans for him are more long, far-reaching, I guess I should say. So I tend to think Randy probably gets the nod here.
Okay, and I'm going to go on the opposite side of that. I'm going to say little punishment never hurt anybody.
Okay.
And I think they're going to put Carlito over on that one.
Isn't it amazing how politics shouldn't even play into this? But it
no, does. But it does.
And it does.
And it affects our decisions in this game, too, which is odd. By the way, you guys, if you want to play at home and see if you can beat myself and Les at this game, please feel free to, you know, go ahead and give your picks in the chat room.
But if you do beat us, don't be too elated, because it's not that hard.
That's right. the next is the World Tag Team Championship match between the Spirit Squad and the Highlanders.
I see the Highlanders here.
Definitely.
I think it's time. They've talked about disbanding the Spirit Squad, whether they're going to do that or not. I think these guys have had their butts handed to them so often that there's no value. Those belts are really of no value on them. And truthfully, I think the Highlanders, you know, everyone thought they were going to be the sheep herders, you know.
Right.
And they're a little comedy, but not nearly what, you know, what the sheep herders.
The Bushwhackers.
Were. Yeah, Bushwhackers. Well, they were the sheep herders, too, at one time.
Right, right.
But anyway, yeah, so I think these guys, if they continue to improve, will be a good, solid tag team on down the road. But, I think they'll end up with the straps.
Real quickly, what did you think about Piper's appearance last night with the Highlanders?
Well, it was a surprise. That's cool. You know what I thought was funny, though? When he was saying he was excited about being out there with them, then they had to ask him their names. I thought, Ron.
Yeah.
You're putting the guys over like you're hanging out together, and then you say, and by the way, who are you?
He was just excited because they're all wearing the same skirt.
Do you know what? Do you realize that the police group was Irish?
Yeah, yeah.
So nobody, I mean, I don't know if anybody else figured that.
Yeah,
that
I did
not.
Notice that. That did cross my mind. I was like, they're all Irish.
Yeah, except for the three guys in the ring who were Scott. Anyway, creative rides again.
The guys who were supposed to be Irish.
But, you know, before we go any farther, let me say this, that I thought they did do a good job of covering the anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you know, that was well done over and above, and regardless of anything else that may have gone on that 2 hours, I thought they did a real nice bit of that. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, very tasteful, and yeah. I was glad not to see Muhammad Hassan.
Yes.
Lita versus Trish Stratus for the Women's Championship.
Well, you know, obviously it doesn't make any sense to put the strap on Trish, although they may do that. It's in her hometown.
Right.
But, you know, with her retirement, maybe a win by disqualification or something.
So you're going to go with Trish?
Yeah, as silly as it sounds, yes.
She can win
by disqualification or count out and still not win the championship. So,
sometimes, you know, especially when it's their last match, they want you to go out on your back, especially in your hometown. They always want to embarrass you in your hometown. But that would lead to Lita winning. But I think that they know this is a different story. This is, you know, this is Trish Stratus. She was the backbone of the women's division.
Yeah, you're right. She's been the centerpiece of the women's division
yes.
for some time.
And I'm going to go on a limb right here, and I'm going to tell you that she's going to win the belt, and she's going to relinquish it right
okay.
afterwards.
Okay, whatever you say, Doc.
That's, you know, I'm going out on a limb on this one.
Okay, all
but,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Trish on that one.
Okay.
Intercontinental Championship, Johnny Nitro versus Jeff Hardy.
Nitro hangs onto the belt, I think.
Oh, you're picking all my picks.
Well, I'm sorry. Since you didn't tell me, I've just got to kind of go with it.
That's true, I know. But, I see the Hardys. I don't know. They like to punish the Hardys. Not so much punish them, but
I think, you know, Jeff's done a good, I mean, he's only been back a couple weeks, but,
right.
you know, he's done a good job. He looks healthier.
Yeah.
The truth, he's gained a little weight.
And I like his new little gimmick with the paint, and he's an artist now.
I don't know that I'm excited about that, you know, but, you know, me and that. Okay, what's next? We got another guest.
D-Generation X versus the McMahons and Big Show, Hell in a Cell.
Godless hope that this D-Generation X and we can move on.
Absolutely.
Let me say this very quickly. Vince is a great character. But to me, good business. I mean, it's his party, as the old song goes. He can cry if he wants to.
Right.
And that goes back farther probably than you are old. But anyway, I think Vince knows how to get heat. He has heat. To me, the long-term value would be for he and him to give the rub to some of his young heels. To manage them, to have them conspire with them, whatever the case.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, I mean, I don't think Show needs his rub, but I do, you know, and I think it's just him and Shane continually wrestling is really not of much. It may be entertaining to them, but I think it's kind of lost its luster with the general populace.
Yeah, and it's like the McMahons are like a bad case of herpes. Like, it comes along when you don't expect it, and it stays longer than you want it to, and then it goes away and you forget all about it until it comes back.
Okay.
I'm not saying that from experience, by the way.
Are you? Okay.
So don't be writing blogs or anything out there, guys. And finally, the championship match, the WWE Championship between Edge and John Cena in this TLC match. How do you think this one's going to go?
Again, this may sound crazy, but I think Cena gets his hand raised.
I absolutely agree with you on that.
I wouldn't, but I think he does. I mean, when I say I wouldn't, that wouldn't be the way I would go, and I wouldn't. It's not because it's in Toronto that I would put Edge over. I just... I'm of the opinion I like seeing the heels hang on to the belts and the baby faces do the chasing. So, but I think in this respect, Cena.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. I think they're going to give that to Cena. They're putting too much on the fact that Cena's never done it, that Edge has never lost, and usually when they keep shoving something like that in your face, the opposite's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it can be done so that it doesn't take the edge off of Edge, as it were.
Absolutely.
And we're running short here. We need to jump in and get our guest on.
Absolutely. Don't forget, guys, check it out, Unforgiven WWE pay-per-view on Sunday, September 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Find out next week who wins the pay-per-view prediction game, myself or Les. We're going to take a quick break now.
Next week our guest is Scott Norton.
Yes.
Right? And the following week, Steve Corino.
Steve Corino, yes.
All right, cool.
So keep checking our show out, guys. We're going to have some great guests in the next couple weeks. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, of course, Graham Coffin from the history of WWE.com is going to grace us with his presence. Stick around. We'll be right back.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
There's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, our featured guest from the history of WWE.com, Graham Coffin. Am I getting that correct? Graham Coffin?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, I wasn't sure how to pronounce it, but yes.
Good job.
Graham, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I've checked out the history of WWE.com. It's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, me too. You know, Graham, I had said to Doc earlier, I said, anybody that does history and does it right puts in a lot of research time, and my hat's off to you for that. I don't know if I'd have the patience to do that or not.
Well, honestly, the greatest compliment I can receive is when those close to the business appreciate or thank me for what I've done. You know, my parents did a great job, but honestly, wrestling helped raise me, so this is kind of like my way of giving back.
Well, you're welcome for my compliment.
You know who's a walking encyclopedia on WWE history? Is Howard Finkel.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. You should,
this is
honestly,
what I hear.
You should talk to him. And the reason I've known Howard for years, and I didn't know this until WrestleMania in Toronto. I was helping Tom Pritchard. We were handling some security, taking the guys to and from the ring for the little exhibitions. And anyway, they were having the trivia contest. And for 2 days, I'm watching Howard ask these questions, and I don't see any little file cards or anything, right? And he knows when they're wrong and they're right in the answer. And I said, commit this to me? But he has all this committed to memory. Everything. I mean, he reads nothing. He remembers everything. And here's a trivia question for you. An answer to a trivia question is Howard is the only employee, including Vince McMahon of that company, who has been on every WrestleMania.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not The Undertaker, not Vince McMahon, but Howard Finkel.
I did hear a lot about Howard being a wrestling buff and
oh, yeah.
basically knowing everything that's ever happened. But
how long have you been a fan, Graham?
Well, I'm 25 right now. I'd say, you know, I watched it off and on when I was in my single digits, but I really started watching when I was about 10 years old. I want to say really the match that got me into it was Bret Hart and the British Bulldog over in Wembley Stadium. It's just right then and there, I was hooked.
SummerSlam 92?
SummerSlam 92.
Well, that's a great match to pick to start with, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm half teasing when I say this, but your history is, I've been on your site too, and I obviously haven't read all the text, but yours is more factual than when WWE puts out history on themselves.
That's my goal. That's my
So if we want to know the real story instead of watching a DVD, we go to your site, right?
Yeah, basically. The hidden gems, that's really what keeps me going. You know, the historical matches that everyone talks about. Well, how many people know that, you know, a month before or 6 weeks before, they had a dark match at a TV taping?
Yeah.
You know, no one really knows about that. Like for instance, the Bret, Davey Boy match I already mentioned. 2 months before, they had a dark match, and Bret won. And there's not too many people out there that know about that, or, you know, those hidden stuff that no one's ever seen before on TV. That's what I dig.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that to me, that's, that I think, more interesting than regurgitating the same old about the stuff. And that's what I find several, well, like the Mid-Atlantic Gateway site and your site and, you know, some of the kayfabe memories and some of those are, you know, I forget whose site. I was on a site the other day and found a listing when Danny Miller and I first went into the Carolinas in 1971 as our won and lost record. And I thought, my God, I didn't even remember all this stuff. So. you must, I mean, how much... to initially launch the site, what kind of man hours did you put in before you launched the site?
Well, honestly, I launched it just for myself.
Uh-huh.
I used to read PWI all the time, and my favorite section was the Arena Report. And I went on the Internet because I was thinking, there's got to be some place out there that's got a collection of these, and I could not find one. So, you know, I went through all my old magazines. I went through all my tapes. Maybe like for a couple months, and I put all that together, put it online, and really it was just there for me. I found it interesting, and over time, you know, other people stumbled upon the site, and they found it interesting, and it just, the word just spread, and it really took off.
And what year was this that you started this?
Very early 2002.
Okay. And Les, you had a question?
No, I was just going to say, do you have assistance? I mean, do you have other people helping you with... to accumulate the information that you've got on the site currently, or just do it all yourself?
I have a ton of help. Honestly, I do as much as I can on my own, whether it be the, you know, the weekly TV stuff or going through old newsletters, old magazines. I do what I can. But, you know, I have not been personally to all the house shows. I can't tell you, you know, what the finish was in this town in this month and that year. But thankfully, enough people are out there that know about the site that can then can stop in and email me and be like, hey, I didn't see this show listed. I was here. Here's what I remember. You know, this was really interesting. This guy beat that guy, and that was a huge upset. A lot of my info does come from that.
Uh-huh. Where do you live, by the way?
I'm sorry?
Where do you live? What part of the country?
Shelby, North Carolina.
Shelby, by God, North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's right. Why? I mean, I know that's where we hooked up, but, those little towns are so close together, you could live almost any place. How long have you been in newspaper business?
It'll be a year next month.
You were actually a reporter in your day job for a newspaper. So how often would you say that you get to actually sit down and work on the site in a given week?
In a given week, it really depends. I work pretty irregular hours. If there's a shooting or a murder or anything, you know, they can call me at any moment and I'll have to run out the door. So it doesn't give me much time to sit down and actually watch a two-hour Raw or Tour or SmackDown or ECW. But the weekends, you know, maybe like a Saturday morning, I'll get up and watch the TV for the week. Or, you know, whenever I get some new newsletters in, I'll add them when I can. It used to be I could add a whole lot every day, and that's no longer the case, but I certainly try to add as much info to it as I can when I can.
Yeah.
So Graham Cawthorn, crime reporter in real life, steps in the phone booth and turns into a wrestling historian.
Yeah, there's a cape with that, too. There's a cape, and I can't fly yet.
And he's thinking about calling himself the Cawthonator. But that's just something they're kicking around.
Have you been attending a lot of the indie shows down around there since February that we?
Yeah, it was February. Yeah. I try to when I can. Actually, I saw there was an ECW show in Spartanburg.
That's right, they were down there. How'd you like that?
You know, for a $35 front row ticket, that was I had a hell of a time.
Good.
You know, there's a lot of criticism about the new ECW, but you know they put on a good show live.
Well, good. That's great. Yeah, I've heard a lot. And, you know, and I think that whole thing where everyone was so depressed that it wasn't the old ECW is starting to fade a little bit, and they're starting to understand that it's not ever going to be the old ECW, so it's either take it or leave it, you know.
Exactly.
You know, Shockage in the chat room has a question. He asks if WWE wanted to buy your site, would you sell it to him?
Yeah, well, they go there anyway. I know that much. I don't know if you picked up some of the new DVDs, but some of the new DVDs have a lot of newspaper clippings on there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, about 100% sure they came from my website. would I sell it to them? I'd have to think about it.
Yeah.
I'd be more inclined to it if I could keep running it myself.
Well, if you know the clippings came on your site, why don't you just sue them?
Because I don't own the clippings, I just
put them. Oh, okay. Get your band of lawyers to get with their band.
I don't think that'd work out in my favor.
Here's another question from the chat room. It said, "What would you choose between ringside seats at WrestleMania or reporting an important story that same day?" I think he means for the paper.
WrestleMania.
Be like, somebody else will die tomorrow. I'm going to WrestleMania.
Exactly.
I'll just put a 2-1-1 story tomorrow.
Yeah.
Today, so and so was shot. Oh, and yesterday, we didn't get to report this, but.
Well, you know what? He goes from stark reality to fantasy land. I mean, it's talk about both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. What else does your website have on it besides these match reports and newspaper clippings?
Well, it's got, I'm in the process. The whole thing is a work in process, but VHS results, you know, all the old Coliseum videos, got results from all those along with, you know, when the match was taped, where it was taped. Same with the DVDs. new and old DVD releases up until, you know, the history of the recent world title DVD they just put out.
Excellent.
And so before you go out and buy something and you want to know what's on it, you know, check out those pages.
Absolutely. Check it out, guys. The history of WWE.com, ran by this man, Graham Coffin.
You know, before we scoot here, I just want to say that, you know, you live in an area that is fertile in professional wrestling history. Now, there's something you could crank up and spend the rest of your life doing, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you're going back to the entire beginning history of WWE up until now, wow, that's a lot to cover. So, you got your work cut out for you, my man.
Do you go back all the way to start just when they changed it to WWF opposed to WWWF?
Oh, no, it dates back with the Lou Says Buddy Rogers title change in Toronto that kind of set off Vince Jr. to break away.
Then the most complete history of the company out there, then.
That's the goal.
Great. Check it out, guys. The history of WWE.com. Graham, I want to thank you for being on the show.
I greatly appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
We'll see you soon.
Graham, all right. Take care of yourself, and thanks for all your hard work.
Well, I appreciate it. You guys take care of yourself.
All right, good.
Bye-bye. That's Graham Coffin here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. That's going to wrap things up. ECW is coming up, guys, for, of course, the East Coast viewers, the East Coast listeners, whatever, in the United States. For everybody else, the Irish Whip is coming up next here on the Wrestling Radio Network.
And don't forget, we got Scott Norton next week.
Absolutely. Next week, Scott Norton is going to be on the program.
And we'll probably have somebody else as well.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
And keep checking the website, WrestlingWeekly.com, to see who our other guest is going to be. You can find out our whole slate of who's going to be upcoming on the show at www.myspace.com/DocYoung. It's Wrestling Weekly's official MySpace site.
Well, now that you've shared that with me, I can even go on.
That's right. Les, you need your... I said this last week, Les.
Oh, that's right, you did. That's right.
And I urged you to get your own MySpace. That would be cool.
I know. Like I say, it's hard enough for me to do what I'm doing.
Anybody who's listening who wants to run Les's MySpace, send him an email.
You know what? Somebody would have to. I have got boxes. You know what? I wish someone would come to my house, and I've got boxes and newspaper clippings, pictures, stuff on my personal site and on the EPWT site that need to be up there. And again, I'm just not that mentally equipped computer-wise, so... And if anybody lives in the area and wants to come by and spend several hundred hours, scanning all this stuff in and putting it on, well, Doc can even help you. But Doc actually someday is going to learn how to post the pictures from June.
From the Cauliflower Alley.
Yes, Cauliflower Alley on the EPWT site.
Yes.
And if we all live long enough, we may see that.
We may very well get to.
All right.
We'll see you guys next week, man. Check it out, WrestlingWeekly.com, 8 o'clock Eastern. Scott Norton's going to be here. Be there. Les, say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.